directions. Who's good at it? Let's be honest. Put your hand up. Who is really, really good at patience? There's a few people. That's good. All right, let's be honest. Who's not great at patience? I certainly am not. And certainly in basketball games, there's a lot of times where patience eludes us. It goes away from us, doesn't it? I've got a really simple verse of focus today for this basketball celebration service, and it's Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Today's message I bring you is called Sidelined for Purpose. Now, it seems to be a growing trend amongst our basketball community, all the young people out here, and some of the senior players as well. But I've noticed particularly juniors are becoming mesmerized by it, which means locked in or sometimes obsessed. But funnily enough, it's an app. Who gets hooked on apps? Phone apps, computer apps. Look, they've got wonderful, it's wonderful technology when it's used the right way. But sometimes these can cause that locked-inness or obsession. The app that I'm referring to is called Basketball Connect. Who knows about Basketball Connect? Yeah, there's a few out there. For those who don't know, Basketball Connect is used by every competition in South Australia because it records the score and some numbers we call statistics. Now, every player after each game, even myself, is rushing to check. How many points did I get today? What were the runs that the teams went on so that I can look at how many points our team and the opposition team scored in a row? Now, this in itself is, of course, very useful. I mean, think of me as a coach. I can go look at the opposition team and I can look at which player scored the most points and I can come up with a game plan to try and make sure that they don't have as big an impact. Who has played church basketball before the Basketball Connect era? So only the last couple of years? Yes, there's a few of us. Can anybody remember how we used to find out who the top scorer was on the day? Yeah, we used to have written score sheets. That's right. And what we would do is we'd go and we'd get a glance at those score sheets and see a lot of twos and a lot of threes written down on the score sheet. And that would help us see who had the top score that day or who had scored points in those games. Now, what we would have to do then is then we would have to remember that, because often we couldn't take those written score sheets from us. It wasn't accessible to us like Basketball Connect is today, where you can see the score of how many points you scored about even a year ago. So you can keep track of your progress. It even tells you your average. It tells you how many three-pointers you made, how many two-pointers you made, all that important information. So that for our youth here in the room and young at heart, when those score sheets were around, that was before we had smartphones and cameras to instantaneously keep a record of those scores. Unfortunately, because you need at least more than maybe five people, the app only tells you from a scoring point of view the story, which then for young people particularly becomes the only important point of basketball is the question, how many points did I get today? It is the most asked question I have as a coach over the last 12 months. How many points did I get today? What was my personal score? What that does, though, unfortunately, is that it tells you from a scoring point of view the story, which then for young people becomes the only important point of basketball is the question, how many points did I get today? Because you need at least more than five people to be able to tell the story of basketball. As you see on big games like NBL 1 Central Games, for an example, you see a big bench of people in front of you, all recording important information. But I have a question for your small groups. At your tables, I want you to ask yourself, in basketball, which do you think is more important? Scoring points or doing the little unseen things that help the team win? And I also want you to ask each other why. I'm going to give you 2-ish minutes to have a little discussion in your tables. Okay, I think that's about two-ish minutes. Time out, everyone. Time out. So, I'd love to know what we came up with. Yes.
Defense.
You've heard that from me a lot, defense. It's all about defense. Defense wins championships.
Blocking.
Yeah? Blocking? Blocking? What else?
Assists.
Love a good assist. Love a good assist. Can't get a triple-double without an assist. Over here somewhere? Yeah? You say assist as well? Call them out.
Team.
About the team.
Rebounds.
Did that come from a coach? What did we say yesterday?
Oranges.
I love that. That's good. On rebounds, of course, rebounds is so important. There's a number of basketball games I've looked at over the years, and the rebound count, whoever wins it, is more likely to win the game. It's just such an important stat because it's about possession. It's about having more of the ball to your team. One more?
Passing.
What about you, James?
Running plays.
Yep. Definitely.
And going
Absolutely. So, we talked about before that if scoring in basketball is everything and the focus becomes only that one thing, then nothing else matters because it's recorded, accessible, and we can see it straight away after the game, like on that app, right? Like, so that's why lots of young people, lots of senior people are like, well, I can only see points being scored, and we miss all those things that you mentioned that are so important. It's created a culture of, I didn't score any points today, so I didn't play well. And that can sometimes be a real feeling to a lot of basketball players. But the higher you go in playing levels such as NBL, WNBL, WNBA, and NBA, the other things that matter just as much are recorded, like we mentioned, like assists, rebounds, blocks, steals, deflections. And I love this. They even created in the NBA a few years ago the generic effort category known as the one percenter. Now, my teams that I've coached this year, we've talked about having 20 effort plays in every 10-minute patch of basketball. And we get the bench to count what's happening on the court so that they're watching the game and seeing what's happening. That's so important. Now, my Emma's under-14s, our semi-final a couple of weeks ago. Great game, wasn't it?
Yes.
Great game. Did we do a lot of those things?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Did
So, as a coach, what was the most pleasing thing in that game is the amount of those extra unrecorded efforts there were from those players who aren't the highest scorers, but their impact on the game was immeasurable because they knew their clearly defined role in the team and their one or two things that they would do that maybe go unseen on the app. Or even, maybe by their peers, even by spectators. I know some of our parents watch sometimes and think, is my child having an impact on this game in some way? What are they doing to help the team? That sort of thing. Because all they can see on the scoreboard is the number of points, right? So this game a few weeks ago that we had, it was tight. And I had two players next to me who were sitting on the bench for the last 4 minutes of the game. And the question I was asked was, will we get on the floor? And my response after a calm pause, because I wanted to answer straight away, but we talked about patience, right? And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it in that very moment. And I said, just calmly, not yet. As a coach, you need to work out in your team what purpose each player can serve to help the team get the win, but most importantly, increase their development within the game. So in this instance, in this very last minute, and this was very at the last minute for those who were there, who saw the game, the players that were there, I made a very, very late call of a substitution. I took those two players off the bench and I put them into the game with 20 seconds to go. I chose to sub these two players into the game because I had a gut feeling they were going to play a crucial role to help protect our small lead. And they waited 4 minutes for that to happen. There was a chance that I wasn't going to get a break in play where I could sub them into the game. They may have sat out the rest of the game. And I may have missed my opportunity to include them in that experience. 20 seconds of play left. They secured our grand final position with 4 1-percenters. It was huge. We won our way through to yesterday's grand final because of those 4 1-percenters when it was so tight. And life can be a bit like this too, as well. We search for our purpose and what our role to play, and more importantly, when we get to. So here's another question for your groups. Have you ever felt like you were on the bench in life, waiting for something to happen? I'll give you 2-ish minutes to have a quick chat about it. Okay, time out, everyone. Time out. That's my second time out of the first half of the service. I'd love to hear your answers over lunch today. But just pop your hand up if you feel like you've been on the bench in life at different times. Oh, look at that. So that means we all get sidelined for a purpose at some point, don't we? Sometimes we sit on the bench of life waiting for Jesus to call us to our purpose. And sometimes, as we know, this is also purposely as well. While we wait on what God is calling us for through Jesus, we are leveling up in unseen lessons, skills, knowledge, and behaviors, ready for when he calls us into the game of life to serve in his purpose. Too many times I've recalled in my own life being sidelined for the purpose to grow my character, wondering why it's not now. However, steadily, I've seen that often it's not no, it's just not yet. So here's a question for you all. Why do you think God sometimes says not yet instead of no? I'll get you to think about that as this service goes along today. Because Jesus often had his disciples waiting on many things in his ministry, and it was the disciples that were always waiting on him. And they found themselves looking for him continuously when he disappeared to do all sorts of different things. Like in Mark chapter 1 verse 7, he'd go off to pray on his own in solitude. And Simon and his companions said, "Everyone is looking for you." In Mark 3, verse 31, it says that Jesus' mother and brothers arrived and they sent some people to look for him as Jesus had disappeared amongst the crowd. They replied, "Your mothers and brothers are looking for you." Who's seen The Chosen? It's a few people, yeah. I think this illustrates that really, really well. Those moments of frustration early on for the disciples when Jesus would just go missing. And then he'd appear because he had purpose in being absent at different times. But it didn't mean that he was absent. While he was physically absent, he was very much spiritually there amongst the people. And that's when it clicked for the disciples. It clicked. They started to get it. Well, most of them, if you read the gospel, of course. They realized in these instances Jesus was teaching them patience, waiting for things to happen, as the plans he has are often far more richer, wider reaching, and purposeful than ours. I don't think we'd have the basketball club today that we have without waiting on those things, allowing Jesus to make things richer, wider reaching, and purposeful than ours. And anything we could have built, anything that Ruth could have thought of, I could have thought of, all the people, our coaches, by waiting on the Lord, we have built what we have today because of that. So as we close in on halftime of today's message, It can often be easy to force the rebound or comeback in life, as we'll see. A true rebound or comeback, however, requires looking at many things yet not revealed to us until the time is right. We believe here at Lighthouse that Jesus' timing in our lives is the right timing. And his timing looks at all the unseen things beyond the scoreboard of life. That allows your rebound or comeback to have an impact for the purpose we have been sidelined for in the first place. And that's my sub.
Thanks, Tristan. Set me up for a slam dunk. If I could reach the ring. No. Right. Yeah, so as Tristan mentioned, I want to talk to you guys today about a story, actually. A story of probably the ultimate comeback or the ultimate rebound. And it's about a guy called Joseph. Joseph was an avid basketball player. He grew up, all his brothers played basketball in the local neighborhood. His dad was a coach of his team. And so he had this deep love and passion from a young age. And they joined, well, they made a team as a family, and their team was called the Technicolor Coats. Okay, and they trained hard, but Joseph himself, he trained and played even harder than all his brothers. He was the favorite of his dad, the coach. One day they were playing in the local leagues, they were playing with some other teams, and in the halftime break, this scout comes up to Joseph. I don't know if you have scouts that come at your game, I heard this is a thing in basketball, and he comes up to Joseph, pulls him aside at halftime, and he says, "You know what, Joseph, I've been watching you play. I've been seeing your skills, I've been seeing your integrity and how you train, and one day you are going to be on the biggest stage ever. And everyone around you is going to be looking up to you and favoring and wanting to be with you." And you can imagine, Joseph heard this and he was like, "Me? Me? The youngest in the team? Really?" He was ecstatic. What would he do? What would you do if you heard something like that? You'd want to tell someone, wouldn't you? So he runs off away from the scout, back to his dad and the rest of the team, his lovely brothers. And he said, "You know what, guys, this scout just said to me, he said, I'm going to be the best one day. You guys are all going to look up to me." Now, what do we think? Now, this is an actual engagement. What do we think? What would his dad, what would his brothers say? What would you say if someone on your team came up to you boys and said, "You know what, someone told me I'm going to be the best out of all of you guys"? What would you say to them? You say, "Bruh, bruh." That's what you would say. I don't know what that means, but what else might you say? You're dreaming. Yeah, it's cap, maybe. And this is exactly what his brothers said. They probably didn't say cap and bruh, but they were angry. They're like, "You said what? You think you're going to be the star? You're just a bench warmer." And they kicked him off the team. For the rest of the game, he sat on the bench while the rest of the team played. And then after that, not only did they kick him off, they said, "You're not playing with us anymore. Get out of here. You go play in a lower division if you think you are so great." And they forced him to go and play in another club. And so as time passed, Joseph, he loved basketball, so he joined a different club. And he joined Potiphar's players. And Joseph, with his skills that he had and his talent, his discipline, his integrity, it shone like any good player. When they go to a different club, doesn't matter where they go, if they've got these things, they rise up. And slowly, Joseph became the MVP again. Every week, MVP award, MVP award. Because he was trusted, he was respected, and the team was benefiting. They were starting to win. Things were going well. But you know what happened, boys? What do you think happened when things were going so well for Joseph in Potiphar's players? Someone didn't like it. Someone said, I actually don't like this Joseph guy. And they planted fake evidence in his locker bag. They put some stuff in there and then accused Joseph of cheating. They said, they made it really public, Joseph has been cheating, he's been doing this, and you know what happened? He got kicked out again. He got booted off of his team, but worse than that, he didn't just get booted off the team, he got banned for playing basketball league anymore. And do you boys remember what happened at the very beginning? What did the scout say to Joseph? You'll be something great one day. How is he going to be great if he can't even play basketball in any league? He's been banned. Something that he deeply loved, his dream that he was told was now looking impossible. And maybe you have a time like that in your life where maybe you've got this hope and desire, but things just aren't turning out the way that you've planned. It feels unfair. What do you do in those times? Well, Joseph, the only thing he could do was hold on to this scout's vision. He'd been kicked out by his first team. He'd been kicked out by his second team. He was banned. And all he had left was this vision and this hope that one day, he didn't know how in this time, how were people going to look up to him in basketball? How was that going to come true? And so what would you do, boys, if you got banned from playing basketball? What would you do if you got banned? If you could never play basketball, what would you do? You'd have a meltdown. Well, Joseph almost did that. He threw a tanty. He didn't throw a tanty. What would you do? Play a different sport. But he loved basketball so much. He didn't want to play another sport, so he actually went and started training. He became a trainer. He went to his local neighborhood and he just started training up some of the kids that were around him, spending time training them for free. He just loved the sport so much, he wanted to see other people play it. And over time, as he was training these people, one of them got drafted to the big leagues. And he's like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And then he kept training, and they kept getting drafted away. And it almost became like a prison for Joseph. He was stuck there doing all this good work, and everyone else was leaving. And so he thought, well, maybe as I'm training these guys, maybe if I just ask them, you know, I did heaps of work for you here. If I just put in a good word for you, when you get drafted to the big league, can you mention and tell them about me? Tell them what I did and the skills that I have? Maybe that would get me back into basketball. But what do you think happened? None of them did it. That's right. They all forgot him again and again. And Joseph was just stuck in this vicious cycle like a prison. But he didn't give up. He kept training. He kept encouraging. He kept sharing his wisdom with them, even though he was overlooked. And years went by, and Joseph was doing this, still holding on to this scout's vision that had been given many, many years ago. And as years went by, lo and behold, the basketball league was in a crisis. You wouldn't believe it, right? They had introduced some reforms and changed the way the game was being played, and the crowds were starting to leave. The players just couldn't handle the new changes. And it was in this moment that Joseph was remembered by one of the players he had trained and had been drafted to the big leagues. He remembered Joseph and he said, oh, there is this guy, he can read the game like no one else. And so they went searching for him and they found him where he was, faithfully training these neighborhood kids to be draft league players. And they explained the situation. They said, Joseph, the league's in trouble. We need your help. The investors are leaving. The supporters are leaving. We need to do something. And so they took him from the neighborhood straight up to the CEO to speak to the CEO of the basketball league. And so I just wonder for you, if you were in Joseph's situation, if, say, you had been on the bench all season, and it's the grand final now, you qualified because you've been in the game, but you sat on the bench, you didn't get any floor time, and then the coach turns to you and says, we need you now. Would you be willing to say, yes, yes, this is what I've been waiting for? Or would you be like, stuff you. Like, you just kept me on the bench this whole time. Now you need me. What do you want me to do? But this is not what Joseph did. He went to the CEO and he spoke to the CEO and he spoke to him so well with such vision and leadership and wisdom that you know what the CEO did? What do you think he did? Sorry? What did he do? He put him not in the charge. He put him 2IC, second in charge, immediately, straight after his conversation. He said, Joseph, you are my 2IC man. I see what you have, and the league needs this. And in that moment, Joseph went from a bench warmer to a trainer of neighborhood kids to the league's 2IC. All because he held on to that hope of that scout's vision for his life. And when Joseph stepped into the 2IC role, the league not only recovered, it became so successful that his old team, the Technicolor Coats, they were like, Joseph, brother, we love you. We're sorry. We're really sorry. Please help us. We want to be the best. And they were bowing down and begging him, please, Joseph. The leagues were begging him from other countries as well. And Joseph helped them because he knew this was his purpose that he'd been called for. He knew this was the fulfillment of the vision that this scout had told me so many years ago. And you might be listening to this story thinking that, oh, you're a really good storyteller, Dion. You make up great basketball stories. But guess what, boys? It's not just a basketball story. This really happened. It didn't happen on the basketball court, though, but it happened in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, in chapters 37 through to chapter 50, there was a man called Joseph, or actually a young boy, who received a dream from God. And when he received this dream, he told his brothers. They sold him into slavery because they were jealous and angry. He got bought as a slave and then was accused for doing the things that he never did, was thrown into prison, was made ruler of the prison, second to the chief warden of the prison, but got forgotten again and again after all the people he helped get out until he was remembered. And what Joseph knew is that all the time in his life, even though looking at his circumstances and his situation, things weren't working out, he didn't understand. But he trusted that God was still at work, that God was doing something in this situation, as difficult as it was. And in the end, we see Joseph never could have imagined being the ruler in the position that he was. He became second in charge to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And what's even more incredible is that he trusted God so much through all of his situations that at the end, when his brothers came begging him to forgive him, he forgave them. And he not only forgave them, but in verse 20 of chapter 50, he actually says this to them. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me, God brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." Not just his brothers. He saved the lives of all the people of Egypt and all the nations surrounding Egypt because of the work God had done in his life. But imagine if Joseph had quit. Imagine if he went and shared his story with his brothers and they'd said, "Stuff you, Joseph, you're out of here." And he's like, "Oh, well, that's it. That's the end of that dream. How can that come true now?" It'd be like if you're going for a goal and you shoot it. I was going to kick it, but we're doing basketball today. We don't do football here, though. You shoot a goal and you see, "Oh, no, it's not going to miss." What do? Do you go, oh, well, we'll wait till they get the ball? No. What did Tristan say? Rebounds. And I played one season. I'm not very good at basketball. And so for the benefit of the team, I stepped down. But I would always shout, "Rebound, rebound, rebound." Because I wasn't a very good shooter, so I knew it wasn't going in. And so we'd get the rebounds, and then the chances are we would get a point. But if we didn't do that, the chances are we wouldn't get the point. Or maybe what about when Joseph was thrown into prison? He could have easily said, oh, well, this is the end of my life. I'm going to die here. But he didn't. And it's like when a team falls behind. I was watching the men's men's A's team play yesterday. They just didn't stop trying. It didn't matter if they were behind or not. They were always trying, always running up and down the court, getting rebounds. Often when we look at these situations in our life, we see setbacks, we see problems or mistakes. But the reality is that God sees these things in our life as setups for his plan. As Tristan said, to things he needs to grow in us, to make us ready. And the truth is, for all of you here this morning, God has a dream for your life. He sees you and your circumstances right now, the difficulties that you might be facing, the blessings you might be receiving. And he's inviting you to join his team. All it starts with is by simply saying yes to Jesus. And it means you don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore. You might feel like you're just sitting there and you've got no impact on what's happening in your life. God is inviting you to be a part of his plan, to step into the life that he created for you. I just want to ask everyone to just close your eyes now as I'm about to finish up and invite the worship team up as well. And just as we've got our eyes closed, if this morning this is you and you feel something stirring in you that you want to join God's team today, that from Tristan and my talk or Tristan and Ruth's coaching and the work that has happened this season, you've heard enough and you're ready to trust God's game plan for your life. I just encourage you now, as we've got our eyes closed, just to raise your hand like you're calling for the ball from a teammate. Raise your hand because I would love to pray for you. God would love to see you join his team. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for Joseph. We thank you for the beautiful example that he is of not only a person of faith, but also a basketball player. Someone who never gives up, who never quits, never throws in the towel, is always focused on the plan that he's been given. The dream, the vision that the coach has inspired, that you have inspired for our lives, is attainable when we put our trust in you, when we put our trust in the coach, when we see situations like being put on the bench or being sidelined or making a mistake as an opportunity to learn and develop our character in you, Lord. So I just pray as we continue celebrating our basketball ministry today and all the incredible work these players have put in this season, that you would just continue to be stirring in our hearts, Lord, that whether it was a good thing or a bad thing that happened, we can learn and we can be drawn closer to you and your plan for our life through this, just like Joseph was. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.